It's widely accepted among educators that the quality of individual teachers makes the biggest impact on whether students learn. So if teachers are the key, can you teach great teaching? That's the question we're asking this morning as we continue our series on WBUR this week, Making an A-plus Teacher. The answer is complicated and is shaped as much by reality as by best-selling books and hit movies that suggest the answer is no, arguing that great teachers are born with exceptional skill.
The problem is 99.9% of teachers are not born that way. They need to be prepared.
Vivian Troen is a senior education specialist at Brandeis University. She says you can learn how to be a great teacher. We learn more about how, as WBUR's Martha Biebinger this morning reports on what teachers are doing to hone their craft and how the profession may need to change to support them.
Every Tuesday, for 6 weeks this spring, Katie Hubbard videotapes herself teaching a reading class at the Phoenix Charter Academy, a high school in Chelsea. Hubbard is just beginning her lesson when she turns and there's an outburst behind her. Hubbard interrupts in a firm but calm voice. She tells two students they can't shout in class and arranges to speak to them after the lesson.
Okay, right now is not the time to have a conversation. I will talk to you about it.
I think the way that you handled that was pitch perfect.
Max Tufair, Hubbard's teaching coach, meets her at a coffee shop to review the tape and scrutinize key events.
Those moments are inevitable, but how you handle it makes the difference between whether that escalates into something huge and you end up having to send them out or de-escalates. So I thought you handled it very, very well.
Tufair's small firm, Teacher Coaching Solutions, has a contract with Phoenix Charter Academy for 6 coaching sessions with any teacher who wants his help. Hubbard jumped at this chance few teachers have, either because schools can't afford coaches or because teachers and principals don't see the value. Today, Hubbard wants to analyze her worst moment of the lesson. A student who rarely speaks during class answered a question in a way that didn't make sense.
And instead of working to validate his answer, I said, okay, does anybody else have any thoughts? And totally, skipped over him.
Tufair sympathizes and asks Hubbard what she could have done differently.
Because I know it's really tempting to just go to that quick, anyone else? What's going to be different that's going to trigger you to remember that? The scar of having...
I mean, I think that's going to be part of it. I was so aware of him in class today.
Tufair and Hubbard spend an hour reviewing 5 or 6 micro-events that Tufair believes will make Hubbard a better teacher.
I can talk about a discrete moment because I want to isolate it and get a teacher better at doing that specific thing. And then it's important to kind of zoom out and see how that fits in because it all adds up to great teaching.
Hubbard says Tufair's focus on the mechanics of teaching, how to move through the classroom, how to pace lessons, how to keep students at different levels engaged is helping her in a way no other professional development program has.
This is really individualized, where you are in your teaching practice, and how we can follow through and set goals and help you grow.
Hubbard is using what she learns about her own teaching to assist colleagues at Phoenix Charter Academy. Some educators see peer coaching as the most promising tool to improve teaching for everyone, especially when teachers work together in teams. But this concept goes against the culture of most schools, says Catherine Bowles, who directs the Learning and Teaching Program at Harvard's Graduate School of Education.
We all work alone. We don't talk to anybody. There isn't time in the day to watch another teacher teach or to analyze what another teacher teaches. Once you begin to introduce people to the culture, they're shocked.
Bowles and co-author Vivian Troen from Brandeis have a book out this fall they hope will both inspire and guide teachers towards collaborative teaching. Not just working together on logistics, like ordering books, planning field trips, or putting up bulletin boards.
But the culture is so embedded in our lives. You know, it's almost as if you need a genetic transplant to change our vision of what teaching should be. It is the isolated teacher. It is the once-in-a-while great teacher. But it's never the teachers working together in a culture that values collaboration. It's not just my children, it's the team's children that we're talking about.
I'm Meryl Margolis. This is my 6th year teaching. Hi, my name is John Reed. I taught 5 years in Lowell, Mass., and now this is my first year at the Trotter School in Boston.
I'm Joanne Douglas. I've been teaching for 14 years.
Team teaching is the norm at the Trotter Elementary School in Boston. The Trotter, an underperforming school, has some outside money to train teachers on coaching and team collaboration. Douglas describes a third grade lesson where her team tackled a difficult subject. What is cause and effect? The team planned the lesson, watched one colleague teach it, and then tested the students.
Well, a lot of kids didn't get it.
So Douglas and her team tweaked the lesson, and another teacher tried it with more hands-on visual elements. Their solution? Puzzle pieces that, when paired, illustrate cause and effect.
A cow with a flat tire and nails on the street, you know, shining bright teeth, Duprostin toothpaste, cause and effect. Now 90% of the kids got it, okay? So we can tweak it again to get 100%.
And that, says Douglas, is how she is learning to be a great teacher. Of course, coaching and teaching in teams could become the latest fad that burns bright for a few years and fades. The difference may be whether supporters can measure and evaluate their contribution to great teaching. For WBUR, I'm Martha Biebinger.